Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
And don't worry, we'll revisit that topic tomorrow. A lot of phone calls. Can't get them all in today, so we're going to set some time aside tomorrow during the second hour so that we can discuss more in detail this topic and make sure that everybody has a full understanding of what it is, why it's here, and why it has to be stopped. And why Children's Protective Services, the state government, and others need to step in, not just the FBI and the feds, but others as well. I'm going to shift gears and head a different direction for a little bit here. The question, can China play a role in solving the North Korean problem? Some say the United States should develop a diplomatic strategy to persuade Beijing to help. I think that's already happened. I think that happened when President Xi was at Mar-a-Lago, when we were sending cruise missiles into Syria. I believe that began to happen. I believe we heard the president say he will take a lesser deal on trade if the Chinese help us get North Korea off the table. However, in the end, I don't know that that will happen. I believe that it'll be our responsibility to address the North Korean scourge, and we cannot have a North Korean dictator, this petulant child, staring at us with a gun in his hand and us staring back looking down the barrel of a crazed dictator. That's not a way to move forward for the United States. Doug Bandow here, senior fellow at the Cato Institute. Doug, am I right or wrong?
Well, I think that we can do more to try to get China on board, and it's certainly better to try to get them to put a lot of economic pressure on the North than to get involved in a shooting war with North Korea.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to be in a shooting war particularly. But with Kim Jong-un saying he'll fire missiles basically whenever he wants, he'll test nuclear weapons whenever he wants, he will threaten South Korea, Japan, the United States, whenever he wants. At some point, after nearly 70 years, somebody has to put an end to it. At some point. Is that right or wrong?
Well, I'd like to see them end, but the question is, how do you put an end to it? You know, the idea of military preemption or, you know, kind of preventive war could have devastating consequences. The problem is the North Koreans can destroy Seoul, the capital of South Korea. So you start talking military action, you get the South Koreans very nervous.
Well, so far, they're still with us. If the South Koreans abandon our position, then I would consider other options. They have not done that. Japan has not abandoned our position. In fact, both South Korea and Japan seem to, at least thus far, embrace our position, which now includes three aircraft carrier strategic strike groups moving into the region.
Well, they like our position in terms of defending them. They are not interested in having us start launching military strikes against the North, because their view is the North would respond. The North would lose any war. But, you know, a conflict like that would be extraordinarily costly, primarily to the South Koreans. They'd be the battlefield.
Well, here's the thing. This is where Donald Trump's America First policy comes into full view, because Donald Trump realizes that if the United States military launches a strike against North Korea in a preemptive measure, yes, South Korea will become a part of the battlefield. There's no question. But in Donald Trump's estimation, I'm going to say that that's a better scenario than 5 years down the line, North Korea having nuclear weapons and pointing that gun at the United States. That puts Americans at risk in San Francisco and Los Angeles, possibly elsewhere. Of course, Hawaii would be in the crosshairs as well. So Donald Trump has a bigger game, it appears to me. And yes, he would have a concern with the South Koreans, but you don't sit idly by while they develop nuclear weapons in the North. They can later point at the United States.
Well, look, we lived through a Cold War where the Soviet Union had missiles pointed at us. The question is, how do you respond? There's no evidence that Kim Jong-un and those folks are suicidal. They've long been concerned that we'll get into a war.
Hold on, Doug. There is every bit of evidence that Kim Jong-un is not sane, is not like dealing with Stalin or Brezhnev or any of them, frankly. He is not balanced. He makes these threats all of the time. We didn't hear that from Joseph Stalin or Leonid Brezhnev or any of those. They didn't say, hey, we're going to nuke America. We'll nuke America whenever we want. I didn't hear that.
Well, he makes those threats from a position of weakness. That is, this is a very weak system. It's a very poor country. It would lose any conventional war. You know, those threats are made as a desperation attempt at deterrence, he wants these virgins in this world, not the next. This is not a guy who wants to go up in flames and meet, his maker.
Well, if you're right about that, then why does he continue to make these threats? Why does he continue to threaten and posture the United States when he knows the carrier groups are coming, when he knows that Donald Trump is a guy who is serious about such things based on his behavior in Syria and in Afghanistan? Why would he continue to push that if he's as, sane as you assume he is, Doug?
Because when the carrier groups come, that's when they feel most threatened. That's when it's most important to convince us not to actually use them. You know, they look at the world and they see a world in which the U.S. has taken out, Afghanistan's government, taken out Iraq's government. Libya is an example they look at where we convinced Gaddafi to give up his nuclear weapons and missiles, and then we took him out. So they live in a world in which they view themselves as being very endangered. They make all these stupid threats. It's an evil regime. We want it to go away. But you don't want to trigger something and get a war today that you spent 70 years preventing.
Yeah, well, I don't want to allow them to continue down the path to get nuclear weapons either, Doug. And really, you've offered no solutions in that regard.
Well, there is no easy solution, but the idea of starting a war with them is the worst. My solution is to put greater pressure on the Chinese as well as offer the Chinese something positive to help out. The Chinese don't want a United Korea allied with us with U.S. troops on their border. They don't want to have a North Korea that collapses, puts millions of refugees across the border. We've got to talk to them about how to handle those situations. So they'd be willing to help us by trying to cut off economic aid to the North. They won't do that if they think we'll take advantage of the situation.
You know, it's not like China has a magic wand with North Korea either. I mean, let's be honest. Doug Bandow here from the Cato Institute, and I get the whole, let's see if we can work it out diplomatically. We've done that for 67 years. And for 67 years, we've stared across a line at the 38th parallel at each other with people very close to war. The war was never ended. The war continues today because no peace treaty was ever signed, of course. An end of hostilities is as far as we ever got, Doug. And here's the North continuing. You know, how many United Nations resolutions do they have to break? They've broken six so far for it to be enforced. Or we just continue to ignore it and therefore further proving the United Nations has no value whatsoever on the planet.
Well, I mean, it's long been evident that UN resolutions don't solve anything. The problem is, what do you do about a heavily armed regime like this if you don't want to start a war that kills hundreds of thousands of South Koreans?
I think it's time to reunite the peninsula. I think it's time to reunite the peninsula. If it was done in Germany, it should be done in Korea. Time to bring them all back together. It's time to end the Korean conflict altogether. And the only way you do that is to get rid of Kim Jong-un in some fashion. I mean, you cannot sit here. The guy's 33 years old. He's certifiably nuts. And you can't just sit idly by while he says, I'm going to, develop nuclear weapons. I'm going to develop my ICBMs. I'm going to do any damn thing I want. And you're not going to do a thing about it. And from your point of view, Doug, we're not going to do anything about it.
Well, I'm certainly not going to start a war over it because my objective is to make sure there isn't a war.
Well, what if there's not a diplomatic solution, Doug? What if you don't get a diplomatic solution from Beijing? What if you just let him continue on then and just, well, we don't want to have a war, so we'll let him have the weapons. What kind of a policy is that?
Well, it's a better policy than starting a war.
Okay.
I mean, the challenge here is, and we lived through it with the Soviet Union, we lived through it with Mao Zedong, is that kind of starting a conflict in a case like that probably is the worst option. The question is you look for alternatives along the way.
There is no alternative to North Korea having nuclear weapons. Your plan is no plan at all, Doug. I hate to say that, but in all due respect, that's no plan at all. To let North Korea have weapons is better. Nuclear weapons is better than starting a war, so they can start it later. I'll give you 10 seconds for the last word.
If you talk to anybody who lives in Seoul, South Korea, they'll tell you that sending in the bombers is no plan either.
Well, they probably wouldn't care for it.
There's no good option here. North Korea gives us no good options.
Fair enough. Doug Bandow from the Cato Institute. Good conversation. Thank you.
Sure thing.
We have a Doug Bandow from Cato. Back in a moment.